Hi, and welcome back to Season 2 of the Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Kramer, and I'll be continuing our discussion on the Book of Romans. This New Testament epistle, or letter, was written by the Apostle Paul, one of the most outspoken followers of Christ. Let's pick up where we left off. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The question is, what does he mean by living sacrifice? Is this saying that living a life that is pleasing to God is like nonstop worship? The answer is, let's begin with a more careful translation. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Our human nature was created by God as an instrument by which we care for one another on behalf of God. Since the fall, our human nature is subject to dying and death because it is fundamentally selfish. God gives us a new, eternal life when His Word regenerates our soul. We have two reasons to use our bodies sacrificially for the service of God and others. First, though our bodies are passing away, we can at least make that passing mean something significant and helpful. Second, since the essence of our life is an eternal soul, serving cannot take away our life, but can only enhance it. Paul makes this appeal on the basis of the mercy of God in contrast with the demands of the law, which stops every mouth and condemns every sinner, but is incapable of producing any real love in us or through us. See Romans chapters 3, 7, and 8. Employing our lives in the service of others is a reasonable service for several reasons. First, using human nature for the good of others, especially their eternal good, gives value, significance, and purpose to our lives. Second, if we do not present our bodies as servants of God, then we will end up using them to serve the devil, thus ruining our own lives and doing no good to those around us. Third, doing good for others produces multiple benefits, since the one serving realizes the good of loving another, the one loved is helped, and both are now in a better position to love others so that they may do the same. Fourth, our service to others is oriented toward the soul and eternity, even as we care for the body. Caring for an eternal soul means working to convey benefits that are everlasting. This kind of service, significant, loving, eternal, is the only kind that makes sense and therefore is reasonable. Yes, living a life of service is not only nonstop, but it's the most pleasing kind of worship. See 1 Samuel chapter 15, Micah chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The question is, how can we be transformed by the renewal of our mind? How are we able to test and approve of God's will? The answer is, you may not be surprised to hear that we cannot change ourselves. Jesus spoke to the bondage of our human nature since the fall, and Paul describes us as weak, ungodly, sinful, and enemies of God. See John chapter 8 and Romans chapter 5. Paul admonishes us here to see that God works through His Word and His means of grace to change our minds and lives. The renewing of our minds is produced by the Word and Spirit regenerating us. See John chapter 6 and Romans chapter 10. We test in order to discern and/or to confirm what the will of the Lord is. But we do not approve His will, since that is not our place. We test all things, especially ourselves, by comparing them to the clear, eternal Word of God, including the corroborating witnesses of nature, conscience, and logic to which the Word points. See Acts chapter 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Psalm 19, and Romans chapters 1, 2, and 6. The problem with just believing that His will is what is best for us comes in recognizing and agreeing upon what really is best for us, body and soul, in time and eternity. Our thinking is much too bound up in sin, corruptible, materialistic, and short-sighted to be reliable. This is why Jesus describes the wise person as one who hears God's word and keeps that word with him. Keeping the word of God with us is what makes us like the man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. The question is, how can we identify our spiritual gifts? The answer is, all depends on remaining in the Word. See John chapters 8 and 15. The Word provides wisdom to know where our strengths are, perception to know where we might use them, and inspiration to respond to opportunities for their use provided by God. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 27. Some people are so obsessed with discovering what their spiritual gift might be that they ignore the need for their gifts that is right in front of them. Luke 10, verses 30 through 33. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The question is, how much should we give up to live at peace? The answer depends on what we're talking about. Martin Luther observed that love suffers all things, but faith suffers nothing. There cannot be any real peace where false teaching is allowed, so we make no compromises with the fundamental teachings of the Word. See Jeremiah chapter 6, Romans chapter 16, and 2 John chapters 10 through 11. Regarding hardships that others would impose upon us, we suffer everything for the sake of affirming the life and witness of our Lord. See Matthew chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 12. Regarding those who are determined to abuse those who cannot defend themselves, we suffer all things to defend the defenseless. Isaiah 1 verse 17. God has established governments to keep the peace in a material world. Romans 13 verses 1 through 7. God has given us his word and wisdom so that we might keep real and lasting peace in the spiritual world. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 through 6. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the questions and answers we've been discussing today. For more helpful tools and a free Bible study guide, visit cph.org. Join me next week as we continue exploring the book of Romans.